SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's time for another hour of your favorite sports gambling show.
What's this going to be?
Moneyline.
No! Are you kidding me? Humbiddly D!
With the two best hosts to ever do it.
I love my contract. Love my teammates.
Donnie Wrightside.
Do what the Sixers did, Charlotte. Just win seven games a year for 4 years. Eventually, you'll find somebody, and you'll be on the upswing again if it works out in your favor.
And Kevin Walsh.
Let me tell you how crazy talented the NBA is right now. I'm not even trying to get into a debate. He's not even the most talented offensive big man in the NBA right now, in my honest opinion.
Are you kidding?
On the Sports Grid Radio Network, SiriusXM Channel 159.
We're on the move, people. Monday or Tuesday afternoon. Yeah, we are on the move for Tuesday. It's Moneyline because we got topics, and more topics. The best hour of your day right here on Sports Grid Radio. It's Donnie and Kevin, and away we go. Now, before we get to the good stuff today, coach is staying, coach is going, you know, Super Bowl, what the numbers are going to do out there, the 60 million people watching the divisional round, just astronomical stuff, which is only going to increase, obviously, with the Super Bowl. But I got a tweet that came across my screen that I must have missed a couple days ago. And this person quote tweeted it and put additional information out here. And this is how I wanted to start the show, not in football. First off, the Sabrina Ionescu three-point competition with Steph Curry, right? I didn't see the tweet. Yeah. I don't know if you told me or but somebody told me it was happening. Didn't really even like register in my head. I'm like, it's probably stupid. But now I see it where Shams, before I even say what Shams retweeted again today, how do you feel about All-Star Weekend? That's one of the key things, a three-point competition between Ionescu and Steph.
I actually think it's pretty smart. I think there's going to be a lot of commentary that people should say for text messages instead of tweets around this event. That's my advice I'll give people. What? What?
What text messages?
Why'd you get so offended when I said that?
Because I'm going to rip this to shreds in about 2 seconds, and you're going to participate, and this is going to be clipped and sent out. So let's get ready.
No, I'm not going to participate. This All-Star Weekend in the NBA, right? The Saturday portion of it, a lot of people have asked for more flair and things to put eyeballs on. And Sabrina last year in the WNBA three-point contest had an incredible performance. And if we're just right looking at it, the aspect of basketball that you could do a comparison of the men's game versus the women's game and they're not and be not have the widest gap would just be the ability to shoot the three-point shot. So I think this is great. It puts eyeballs on Sabrina. It gets people interested. So the negativity of it, I'm interested to see why, but I promise you I won't be participating.
Now, here's the interesting part, because here's where I start to shred it, which, again, NBA All-Star Weekend is a flat-out joke from start to finish. The All-Star Game is okay for 3 minutes, and maybe the introductions are the most important thing. But as we get away from that, I can't think, when I was growing up, and I know this isn't one of those, all right, old man stuff, All-Star Weekend was such a big deal. It was the dunk competition, it was Jordan, it was Dominique Wilkins, right up to the early 2000s with Vince Carter. There was some fantastic stuff to watch, which included the All-Star Game, which they generally, and not all the time, played pretty hard. But now we take a look at some of this expanded stuff. Let's just say if this was Major League Baseball, Kevin, right? You say, hey, you know what? We're going to get the home run king in Major League Baseball. Or let's just say we're going to get Shohei Ohtani. He's going to be in a home run derby against a female softball player. The softball player is going to use the softball, and they're going to have the fence at 132 feet down the line. Shohei Ohtani is going to have to hit in the Major League Stadium. It's going to be so much fun to watch. Like, if you were, because, and the reason I'm bringing that up is, the retweet on Shams is, hey, they're going to line this up is, same small ball and closer, and we're going to have a three-point competition, which means Steph is going to be back at the NBA range and a bigger basketball. Why aren't we doing both at least, Kevin? Why doesn't Steph get the smaller ball on the shorter rim or the shorter distance, and then they go bigger ball, both of them, at the longer distance? Like, it ruins everything for me. It's like, oh, well, they're going to do it from different ranges. Ridiculous. Why can't we just line it up? It'd be like, we're going to have a dunk competition, Kevin. You're going to NBA guy 10 feet, WNBA guy, girl, 7.5 feet. What's the point of it?
I think it's because And because, Donnie, this version of it is the least drastic of anything else you're comparing. So, again, like softball and baseball are just completely different sports, right? First of all, and that's why I said 3-point shooting is the aspect of basketball that which in the men's game and the women's game there is at least a level of comparison. The athleticism, Donnie, is not. We know that to be true. So
yeah, but that's the same thing as a home run derby. You're using a bigger ball, smaller ball in baseball, shorter fence, a la shorter distance.
Okay, but Donnie, when you watch softball versus watch baseball, I mean it doesn't look the same, right? You're pitching underhand. Again, when you like the WNBA ball doesn't look drastically different size wise. The WNBA 3-point line doesn't look drastically different in terms of closeness. Like again, you can be all up in arms about this if you want, but this isn't going to be something where it's gonna look like Sabrina is shooting layups and Steph is shooting from half court. That's not how this is going to look.
I would love the match. Like, I would love Sabrina Ionescu. I mean, you would get all the points in the world. I don't need that small ball. And I'm going back to the NBA line. I'm going to take I've been practicing. I'm going to take this guy toe-to-toe deep in his own ball game. And if she would have gotten routed, nobody would have blinked an eye, except I would have said, you know what? That's a lot of respect. Steph won 16-6. And I'm like, you know what? I don't even care about the score. I love the fact that she was like, give me the bigger ball and the biggest stage. I want to go toe-to-toe. But it just feels like if Ionescu wins it, like, oh, the better 3-point shoot. Like, no, that doesn't even compute. Like, we know that's not true. I would have loved to have seen a toe-to-toe.
But Donnie, quite frankly, Sabrina could go out there, shoot from the NBA line with the NBA ball, beat Steph, and at no point is she the better. That's what I'm saying. Like, this isn't about
proving who's the better three-point shooter.
I mean, Donnie, it's an event. Right? Like, it's an event. It's actually going to end up, they believe, raising money for charity.
Well, like, come on, just donate. Just give them the money. Don't even send them. Have them shake hands and then send them back and just give $1 million to each side. How about that?
I mean, honestly, I imagine all charities will end up getting something. I don't think this is going to be a scenario where, like, the charity of the losing side gets $0. I don't think that's how these things usually play out.
Yes, yeah, so I would love that. But I think it was a missed chance here, right? Where it's like, and again, I was too young to remember this. Like Billie Jean King, you know, playing a man in tennis and beating was a big deal. Like even up, you know what I mean?
But no, because let me say this, right? This is also, at no point does anybody want anything to be embarrassing about this, right? So if you put Sabrina back at the NBA line with an NBA ball, and if it is that much different, this isn't about anyone embarrassing. This is not about, which a lot of people are going to make it about, how much better men are than women at bat. That's not what this is about, okay? This is about two great basketball players having a fun exhibition on All-Star weekend. That's what this is about.
Why can't we move Steph to the shorter line, though, and just see if he can actually, like, run the table? Like, I would love to see that. Like, that would be interesting. I just want to see. You can keep the same small ball, but just even it up out there. Well, first of all, I'm never going to watch it to begin with anyway, but I do like, I like the concept of ripping this because, like, the NBA is like, oh, this is a great idea. But as you well know, Kevin, the common fan, like I am and most people are, think this is ridiculous. Just give the $1 million piece to charity, Kevin. You know it deep down in your heart.
Way off.
This is a travesty that's going to happen here, and it's not right. And I can fix it. I can be the commissioner. We'll be right back here on Moneyline on a Tuesday.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hurry back, I'm yours.
That's going to be because Carton.
Look at that. Yeah, behind the scenes stuff right now. Good stuff as we'll be out there for Super Bowl week. We're all leaving Saturday here. Getting the boys out. I'm ready. By the way, I brought my suitcase in brand new. Up to the bedroom today. Obviously not going to start packing now. Drop some stuff off there at the dry cleaners, as I said before. And, you know, feeling it out, way to go. Now, I didn't go to Super Bowl last year. I was home, maybe in the best job I've ever had, sitting behind a scene getting paid but not actually doing much work. Fantastic. Everybody should appreciate that. The year before, Kevin, we were in L.A. First time out at the Super Bowl, 3-hour time difference. Not sure what to, you know, expect out there. I don't know if I enjoyed my time as much as I should have been out there. Now, I was going to bed early. You know, the most important thing is not staying up late and partying and having terrible shows because you're out there to party. That's not the case. But I feel this year more calming going out and actually excited to go as opposed to being like, oh, man, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Do you see what I mean? Like, I feel like a little bit more relaxed in this environment this year in Vegas.
I don't know. Maybe it was... Well, you didn't come last year, so I don't know how you would have felt going into last year's. But I don't know. Like, the first one was the first one for us,
yeah.
I don't know if that factored in. But I'm just excited because I think we're going to be able to do some great stuff. You know, me, you, Joe, and Ben all out there in the morning. Mm-hmm. We've done very little, if any, shows, the four of us.
Yeah.
And I think that's going to be a lot of fun.
It is. Now... You know, because it is going to be a lot of fun. Now, the goal of it, obviously, is to talk football. Well, there's only one football game on, which is different from any other week during the regular season, where you can bounce around with a lot of hot topics. The thing I like about this is the topics will be stretched out, which means at times, you know, they might have to pick on somebody a time or two on that set. And any ideas on who's going to get the guns pointed at them on set more than the other? Do you have an idea?
Here's the only thing I'm confident in, actually, mm-hmm. is who is going to get it the least, which is you.
Why?
Well, think about it, right? Because you're instigator number one.
That's true. Yeah, it's true. It's hard to turn the tables on me, so I do appreciate that. But I feel like the battle is going to be set day one, minute one, where I come on there and just say, why are we here? Kansas City is going to win because it's Mahomes, which is a great show, and it'll be fun. And then somehow it'll turn into, you'll start turning to Brock Purdy as the MVP, and it'll just be like a Royal Rumble melee on set. It's going to be very good with the topics we already have set up. I can feel it.
I will say this. I genuinely, I'm being very serious, Donnie. Texted someone today. I need to tame myself and not get so angry at the fact that people are on Kansas City. Mm-hmm. Like, I came in, I felt like, you know, it's so funny, yesterday we came in, you came in hot right out of the gate, right, frustrated with obviously the Ravens' performances and stuff, and I went back and listened to the point where we kind of escalated the Lions-Dan mm-hmm. Campbell thing, and I was like, man, if Donnie refused to talk to me for a couple of days, I think I'd get it. I was so loud, I was like, I can barely hear DRS on the other side of the table. I was like, I don't even know what I was so mad about.
I don't know, the block was hot, because then, like, I start getting like, oh, you're just mad, like, the Lions didn't win on the money line, like, I didn't even have a bet on the Lions. Like, that had nothing
to do with it. No, you thought the Niners were going to win. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's the
best. Yeah. Like, they're like, oh, it's a shame, or, you know, something like that happened, but I was just, like, turning my focus on, like, no. Like, I thought the Niners would probably win that game running away at that point here, you know? I mean, Jamie, what's going on with this guy's mic over here? I mean, the block is way too hot.
I mean, what just happened?
Would you just kick me? Kicked out of here. You're talking, and all of a sudden he's gone. And like, man, it's one of those where you like overamp up your microphone and just cuts you out on purpose. That was pretty good.
Way too hot. Yeah. What I was gonna say though is because we were just the fact that Ben Johnson is staying, right?
Yes.
Like, Schefter ended up putting out what looked to be the most honest breakdown of, he wanted way too much money. Where everyone else like, Ben Johnson's decided. Yeah, but if you look, right, Schefter tweet, right, was Ben Johnson was not the head coach lock that people thought, and his asking price spooks some teams per sources. Everybody else was like, Ben Johnson's just very excited to be a hot candidate next year. And, like, I don't know if maybe, you know, again, because I say this with no slander, I don't know who's reporting what side of it. Right, maybe Washington and Seattle leaked. Oh, this Ben Johnson number was nuts because they're upset that he turned them down. I don't know if Ben Johnson, Donnie, is like, listen, I'm waiting for the perfect spot. I don't know if he loves Dan Campbell. I think all of these things are possible, but this guy could have had a head coaching job last year. Like, remember when Dable, because Dable had a chance and waited 1 year, right? And then he took the Giants job. You don't usually get guys being like, nah, man, I'll wait too. Like, and he's young, but you don't usually get guys passing on head coach opportunities twice.
Well, also, like, I could almost say, like, I'm still young in my career. And I put out a couple tweets there once I, like, settled in, think of, like, a couple minutes on, like, what was actually going on here. Which I do respect the move. And there is no rush. Like, as a professional athlete, Kevin, you got to maximize right away because there is no guarantees. Now, granted, next year Detroit goes 3-14. That offense is the bottom half of the league. He's never going to get a sniff again. So he's betting on himself, just like Brian Daboll did. And maybe the circumstances weren't optimum last year. But flip it over to this year, and let's just say it was, well, look, I want to get paid what I want. He started out, I believe, the number I saw, like $1 million to $1.5 million as his first year as being an offensive coordinator. Did very well, was getting some looks, and he's like, you know, I'll come back. And Detroit, rightfully so, is like, you know what? We're going to give you a pay bump. Let's just say they doubled that, Kevin. It was $1.5 million, they made it $3 million. And now you say, okay, well, I'm going to come back, and I know they want me. I don't know how much you're going to pay your assistant. Maybe they pay him $5 million. But you are probably going to get at least $10 million, Kevin, at any place for a 5-year contract, which is $50 million guaranteed. So if it was about the money and he wasn't getting it, well, what, you're going to get $5 million this year, but you could have got $10 million and it's about the money? Like, that never made any sense to me at that point. But also, those tweets that I was putting out today, sometimes you only get one chance at what you want to do. And if you feel you're not ready, you have a good spot here in Detroit, and that's not going to change. But then when you flip it forward, Kevin, you say to yourself, why wouldn't you? Like, the Washington job is fantastic. High draft pick, get your quarterback, unlimited cap space, brand new ownerships that's designed to put you in the best position to win, and they wanted you, and you turned that down. It wasn't like, Kevin, right? Like, wow, this is the first year we've ever seen it. The Carolina Panthers are the only job available. And Ben Johnson's like, you know what? I know I could take that job, and they want me. I'm the number one candidate. I think there'll be some better opportunities next year. There's, what, 7 or 8 jobs this year up? And he's like, yeah, you know what? I'm good. Yeah. Interesting, man. It really is.
So I don't want to, you know, go crazy with this, but I'm just going to throw something out. I'm going to give people the simplest version of this. I mentioned this past weekend, Donnie, that I thought there's like 8 or 9 jobs where I could see guys being on the hot seat. Let me just throw you this. Is it fair to say every coach in the AFC East other than Gerard Mayo is on the hot seat heading into next season? McDermott in Buffalo, Saleh with the Jets, and Mike McDaniel with Miami?
Yeah, but just to make that a greater point, like, I'm not even looking at who's who. I would probably say 15 teams, if things go south, could be job opening. So you're right. It's not like, hey, man, I passed this up. Like an NBA ownership, right? Like, hey, by the way, you can buy the Wizards right now. I'll wait for another one to open up. It might not come for 15 years at that point. It's not the same in the NFL. But I hear where you're getting at, where it's like, okay, I don't want to go to Washington, which is a Northeast team with unlimited funds, and you could really make bank and have a good football team with new ownership and new front offices. Like, what are you waiting for? To go in post Aaron Rodgers for the Jets? To go in and take over? I don't know. Maybe you do get the job there in Buffalo if, you know, McDermott is canned. But can you really look at that and say, I know those jobs are definitely coming up and those are the guys I want and continue to pass jobs? Now, also, let me ask you this question, and we'll put this in to the after the break as well. There was a tweet that came out. I think it might have been Grant Paulson, tied in there in the D.C. area as a beat writer. And this is interesting. Like, Washington had gotten on that plane, private jet to go out there. Probably had, Kevin, 7 to 8 of the top, like your general manager, front office, ownership group, somebody was on there, maybe Josh Harris. Middle of the flight, they get word he's no longer interested in Washington. That's an interesting one, because he started to compare it to somebody doing that to the Indianapolis Colts, and not the greatest look here on if you want to be a head coach in this league. We'll talk about it next, but a lot more hot topics to go. Make sure you keep the dial right here, SiriusXM channel 159. It's Moneyline.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back out of here. Tuesday afternoon, setting up for Super Bowl 58, which again isn't this weekend, and college basketball is going to be full steam here, which included last night, Kevin. Had some time off in the afternoon, because usually like on like a Monday, Tuesday, not during the season. Like, yeah, we're working Monday night. It's all football all the time. You're looking at that week's games already, setting up your Monday card, your Thursday card, your Saturday card, all that good stuff, right? So last night, I'm like, you know what? Let me go through here. Let me see what's what. Dipped my toes in the water last night on a Lamar team total to the over that hit last night. And I was like, man, it feels like I'm right in my bag again. Handicapped it, went to bed, and you'll like this story, too. We're going to get to the phone lines in just a second here, so hold on. But here's what you'll like about it. So I set my notifications in the middle of the night. Like, the game started at 9. I was already laying down. Like, you know what? I won't see this. Roll over about 11:30 at night. A lot of notifications, which means that the Twitter account for Lamar's men's basketball team, you know, every like 3 or 4 minutes, hey, look at this dunk. Hey, look at his dunk. Hey, look at his layup. Like, here's the points. Like, that's actually the way I prefer to find the final score as opposed to just checking on it. So here's what I do, Kevin. I go to Lamar men's team. Like, I don't even go to the notifications because I didn't want to spoil it, because the first notification that would come up will be the final score, because I like to sort of sweat it while that, like, you know, 15 tweets I'm reading go by. Like, oh, 15 points. Oh, 22 points. Oh, 36 points. Oh, no, they're behind the pace. Now they're above the pace. So I must have scrolled back, and I saw the final score, 74-68. I'm like, come on, man. Like, they couldn't, what a terrible play. Like, they lost it by 10 points. I log into my FanDuel account because I also took the odds boost last night for Giannis and also Denver.
Jokic.
I did the same. Jokic, yes. I have Doncic on my mind. I keep wanting to call him Doncic. To get 25 points apiece. Doncic got, or you got 20. See, I'm doing it again. 25 points for each of them. So I hit it. So I'm like, let me just go to check to see what I have in my account. Like, wait a second. Why do I have more money in my account than I had when I thought? So I go to hit my plays, like, to go back and say, oh, you know what? This is one for the good guys, Kev. You know what I did? I hit under by accident. I know I did, and that's what it is. I scroll through. I was like, no, over 85.5 points. Wait a second.
Yeah.
So I go back to Lamar's thing and scroll up, and it's the official game reel, which they blew the thing out of the water and had, like, 60 at the break. Like, and I'm tweeting through, like, I can't believe I only scored 74 points in this game. So I don't know where I got my wires crossed, but I must have went back to their previous game on their Twitter handle and thought I lost. Unbelievable.
So happy for you. Couple quick things. I know we got to get to the phones.
Yes.
I now have found my favorite way to do that. I think I probably picked it up from you. When I bet a guy's PRA, Donnie, and then I scroll through the ESPN play-by-play, and just anytime I see the name is my favorite. But that Giannis Jokic boost. So I was on Giannis last night for 30-plus. I didn't take the boost, partly because I forgot, but partly I was like, let me just focus. Now, I knew that Giannis didn't score 30 for me, but that was okay because he ultimately, you know, he fell short. But because you just told me you took that boost, I said, oh, let me pull up and see what Jokic did finish with. And I scored, he had 25.
Yes.
What I did not know is I did some miscalculating, and I now just found out that Giannis scored 29, and I'm now furious. Because if you look at the final play in that box score, Donnie, it says Giannis Antetokounmpo traveling. So, Donnie, with 10 seconds left, down 6, right?
Yes.
What do you think Giannis would try and do? Get the ball to Dame, shoot a 3? Maybe Giannis would shoot a damn 3? Yeah. No, he barreled in and had and should have had a free dunk, and this buffoon traveled, and I did not know. I thought I was 3 points away or 4 points away on that possession. It turns out that freebie dunk that he tried for, he didn't get, and I just had an awful beat, and I had no idea. What an absolute nightmare.
Go.
Oh, my God.
So you felt like, I never had a chance at all and realized you should have probably gotten at the end. So for me, I had a scare that turned into a W and a 24-5 points I needed here from Nikola Jokic and got that exactly on the dime.
Wow.
Some extra cash. Let's get to the phone lines here. Let's heat them up. 844-843-6879. Andrew from Virginia, he's up on deck here. Let's go, Andrew. What do you got today?
Guys, what's going on? I was able to get that both those bets through on that Lions-Niners game. I had the Niners money line. I talked to you about it in the Lions, plus 7.5.
Wow.
Dan Campbell gave me a score. Even at the end, I didn't quite understand him going for the touchdown at the end. You need a field goal. You have to prolong the game. That was a mistake. He made too many mistakes. Take the points when you're ahead. You know, I think they were up 2 scores. Kick the field goal there. Mm-hmm. Take the points. Settle down. Settle your team down. Go forward. But that's besides the point. I won. It was a good day. What I really want to talk to you about is college basketball. As I look over these futures, I'm zeroing in on one conference. It's the Big 12. I think it's the best conference in basketball.
Oh, yeah.
I think the national champion is probably going to come out of that conference. A bunch of good teams in college basketball. But no one team this year that really kind of catches my eye. guy. So that's why I zoned in on these two teams from the Big 12, Iowa State and TCU. And TCU has a huge game tonight against Texas Tech. I think it's going to be really close. 5.5. I think the play is Texas Tech with the points, TCU on the money line. But TCU, if they win this game, their odds are going to change. They're plus 125 on Caesars right now to win it all. I think they're plus 750 on FanDuel maybe. So that Caesars line is awfully juicy. They have Jamie Dixon. They have a bunch of seniors. I like this TCU team. They get up and down. They lack a little size, but they could make the Sweet 16, Elite Eight in the NCAA tournament. Why not?
Yeah, no, it makes some money. And by the way, this is one of those, Kevin, that we love the scenario, right? You come in with Texas Tech ranked, or excuse me, TCU ranked 25th, Texas Tech ranked 15th, TCU 4-3 in the Big 12, Texas Tech 5-1 in the Big 12, 5.5-point number. Yeah, Texas Tech is favored. No, it's TCU favored in this spot. So I like where you're going with this one. It does make some sense. And also, Texas Tech being a surprise here in the Big 12 for me. It's one of those like, oh, you know, they didn't play good teams over the first three games. They picked up some really nice wins, which includes BYU recently. So Texas Tech does look decent, but you're right. I love the Big 12. I love the Houston Cougars. I love the fact that they're going toe-to-toe with everybody on a night-to-night basis and getting their best shot, which means come tournament time, they'll be extra prepared for me. But it is one of those games where you look at that TCU line tonight, Kevin, stone-cold Horned Frogs line. Stone-cold.
Yeah, here's my thing. The Big 12 is now going to end up getting the Big Ten treatment, Donnie, of the past few seasons, though. KenPom, which I know you use to great effect, and I like to use as well. 10 of 14 Big 12 teams he has inside the top 35 in all of college basketball.
Yeah. Yeah.
I refuse to believe that's true. I don't care. It's very funny for me to use KenPom in the fashion that I do and then just spit in the faces. I do not care, Donnie. What happens is they will put in the damn near whole conference in this tournament, and we will get to the round of 32, and four of them will have lost. Like, it's just how it goes with this stuff for me. And I do think it is good, right, for Houston, battle-tested. But, man, I still just... I don't know if I'll ever cross the finish line with that basketball team. I know Virginia did it, but when you play at the tempo that which Houston does, you leave yourself open. You always leave yourself open to what the other side hanging around. It's incredible that this team can play as slow as they do and still win by the margin that they are capable of, the Houston Cougars, Donnie. But I'm not on any Big 12 team at the moment, and by the time we get to the dance, I don't think that is going to change for me.
But you're also right. You take a look at Big 12 play. Iowa State game, lost by 4 points, talking about Houston. TCU, lost by 1 point. You just saw them beat Texas, 76-72. So they are going to play those close games. But I just like, we had John Rothstein on this morning, and I asked him a similar question. Like, you know, usually you go through the AAC, right? And it's like, hey, man, we're just going to pound it here. If we have 16 games, we're going 15-1, worst-case scenario, and we don't get battle-tested. Yeah. But at the same time, you don't actually get pressed on a night-to-night basis, which leaves you with high expectations in a tournament. But also, you didn't have to grind every single night before you even got to March Madness over 30 games. Now, they're getting that grind now. They just beat Texas. You know where they're going on the road next? And that is on the third couple days off. That's Kansas. Like, they're going to take on Kansas next in Kansas, and away you go from there. There's no nights off in the Big 12, but I do love the fact that there's no more like, they play in the AAC. You're supposed to beat everybody. Like, we've known that Houston is really good, but I like the fact that they're in a conference now that you have to be good every single night, and you can't take any days off.
But to your point, look at what's happened to the American, Donnie, right? With Houston not in it, it was like, oh, well, you and Memphis are going to run rough shot. Memphis all of a sudden completely falling into an abyss. And FAU plays nothing but close basketball games. I mean, I know they're able to put things up on the board, but still, my team lost to Bryant. Okay. You know,
Like, there's just certain losses that don't happen to the very, very, very best teams in college basketball. And, you know, that the American doesn't have that, right? And that's what happened with Houston's loss. And you know, like you said, now playing in the Big 12. I'll tell you one thing that caught my attention today, and it did catch me a little bit by surprise. I have a preseason Gonzaga ticket. Look, it's obviously not where I want it to be, but I didn't realize this. And we at SportsGrid did our own bracketology, and I even, you know, back-checked the Donnie Bracket Matrix. Gonzaga at the moment is not viewed as a lock to be in the tournament. Despite being 22nd overall on KenPom, a lot of the bracketologists do not have Gonzaga in the dance. The big thing that works for their favor, though, Donnie, I think you'd agree with this. They get into that West Coast Conference tournament, and if they need the auto bid, boy, I will trust that Mark Few can get that auto bid if that's what it comes down to.
Yeah, not one of those power teams. And also, you're taking a look at that conference a little bit down. Used to that, you know, big push maybe from a St. Mary's, who would be a nationally ranked team. That's what you need to help get those extra wins in there. But when it's all said and done, they're probably going to be in, because there's still something said about Gonzaga is used to being in the tournament. And I don't mean you get the benefit of the doubt, but usually when you're on those lines, like, come on, man, Gonzaga's usually in there every single year. You throw them in there. They're actually, even though they're in a smaller conference, they're a big name in college basketball. And what are you going to do? Throw in like an Oklahoma State over them? Stop it. Gonzaga should be able to get in that tournament here. By the way, I went on a rant to start this show. Sabrina Ionescu sends out a tweet here. I think she's listening to the show. I really think she is. Find out what she said next. Right here on Moneyline.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And now, back to Moneyline with Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside.
Oh, yeah. Let's get on this hot topic here as we started the show. Sabrina Ionescu going head-to-head with Steph Curry for charity. Who's the better three-point shooter? Now, Clutch Points on Twitter tweeted out that says, Sabrina Ionescu says she'll shoot from the NBA line in her head-to-head three-point shooting contest with Steph Curry. Her official tweet was, I'll shoot from the NBA line. Let's get it. There you go. Now, okay. Now I might have some interest in it. Something I could have cared less in. Now, I actually might tune into it because it's going to be on an even scale. And I actually don't. See, here's the thing. I don't even know which way I want to cheer now. Usually I like to have a side, and I think both sides is a win for me. Steph Curry gets beat. We trash Steph Curry's legacy. Steph Curry wins in a landslide. We trash women's basketball. It's like a win-win at this point now. So I don't even have any, like, you know, general thoughts on that.
You will forget it is even on and will not bring it up unless I bring it
up. When is the All-Star game,
you see a tweet.
Like, when is it?
Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it.
It's NHL this weekend, so they're not both going to have it this weekend, are they?
NBA is the NHL doing any Vegas thing? Can we do a watch-along for the NHL's All-Star game again, please?
That is true for the skills competition.
Can we do the Pro Bowl? What about the Pro Bowl one?
Now, hold on with the Pro. That is a good point you bring up, because I can't. I saw it's on like the first and the fourth, which leads me to believe. Is it just taped? Like, did they tape it on the first and just replay it on like the fourth? Never it's kind of baffling. And by the way, how long? Because I know the NFL, no matter what they do, is going to make some sort of money. But if you are a player, right? The point is what? Going to this thing. What's the point anymore?
Of going to what? Sorry.
The Pro Bowl. Like, what? You say, hey, look, you're going to go play flag football and just hope you don't get injured and go enjoy yourself? Like, I don't know what the point of the Pro Bowl is anymore. Like,
there has to be like the 80s and 90s. Dollars on the line, right?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, it was really because the guys didn't get paid that much money. So if they were saying, like, hey, make the Pro Bowl, you get a free trip to Hawaii and an extra, like, 100 grand in your pocket, like, hell yeah. Like, I can't, I'm not passing that up to start my off season. Like, I don't even care if I have an injured shoulder. I need that money. Like, I'm going to Vegas. Me and the wife are going to Vegas. I'm getting my 100 grand. I'm coming home here. And that's the way it's going to be. Yeah. But now I look at this by saying it's more of a mockery, but I do appreciate the NFL for no longer having the Pro Bowl, because it was useless and embarrassing and a waste of everybody's time, even though it did make money. And that's really what they're in the business to do. I just don't know where we go from here at this point. And I guess there might be a niche where, like, you know, young kids, young teenagers say, hey, it's a superstar. I want to watch it on TV because it's February, nothing to do. I get it, but it's really jumped the shark at this point where I just think it should be like like an awards dinner. Like, hey, show up like the Academy Awards. Hey, MVP, best wideout, best running back, and you just have a good night. That's it.
You know what's so fun too, though? Like, this is probably where the betting, but the award stuff, Donnie, is really tough in all sports now in terms of timing. Like, baseball's obviously the worst, and they deserve to just be completely trash forever for what they do. But, like, I got to tell you, man, like, Lamar is going to get that MVP trophy, and it's going to be like, all right. Miles Garrett's going to get DPOY. That team gave up 45 in the playoff game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, Stefanski or DeMeco Ryan's going to get head coach of the year. It's
Yes.
I don't know. You're going to get people complaining about when DeMar Hamlin gets handed comeback player of the year.
You will.
Like, it's going to, I don't know. It's one of those things. There's no perfect way to do it, I guess. But I feel like the NBA gets at least decently close, where the NBA hands everything out, Donnie, like a week. Like, you should not be able to win MVP and already be eliminated before the second round of the NBA playoffs anyway. Like, usually the timing works out in that capacity.
Like, hear me out on this, because I've always been a proponent of this, and I use it in a Sixers term. Like, you want admiration in front of your city, and you had Allen Iverson way back in the day. Like, I think it was either, I want to say maybe the, because they do it at different times now.
Yeah,
back then,
yeah,
it might have been the Eastern Conference Finals against the I think it was a Toronto that played the Eastern Conference Finals or Milwaukee, one of them. And he got in front of the home crowd, and it was just like fans were crying, like how much it meant to them that Allen Iverson got the award. And you saw last year when Joel Embiid got the award before a playoff game. Like, the ovation was like 10 minutes long. His kid was out there, like, not a dry eye in the crowd, because you knew how much it meant to Joel Embiid, which you're like, you know what, this is awesome stuff. And I say that by, like, let's just say the Baltimore Ravens, Kevin, before they kicked off against the, you know, not to say it would have helped him at all, against the Chiefs. He comes out the midfield to hand him the MVP trophy in that stadium in the AFC Championship game. Like, how much fun that would be, how loud it would be, how exciting it would be. And they completely whiff. Same thing in baseball, I talk about all the time. Like, if Bryce Harper's the MVP, first wild card game in front of, you know, Citizens Bank Park, hand it to him. Place will go wild, make for a great TV moment. But yet we do things like Shohei Ohtani, one of the most celebrated baseball players of all time, won the MVP. Oh, yeah, that's great. Like, when did he get it? In the middle of the night in December? Nobody cared anymore. Nobody. Like, and even if he didn't make the playoffs, which he didn't, go to have him in studio accepting the awards. Like, wow, look, the season ended yesterday. He's getting his MVP today. Cool, we can remember that. You're right about that, because you are going to give the MVP to Lamar at some dinner. It's going to be like, MVP, gee, wait, he played in the playoffs? Like, it's crazy that we do this.
Yeah, it's very bizarre. But I guess, to be fair, as you were talking about it, Donnie, you made a great point, but then you realized, like, they would have given Lamar the MVP before the game against the Kansas City Chiefs. Everyone would have gone, see, that's why they lost. Lamar wasn't focused, got the MVP, pissed off Mahomes, that's why he was so great. Like, it's like really... It's really interesting how that stuff goes, but it doesn't, like, for us, the way we do it, like, once the odds leave, Donnie, like, I don't even, I don't even care anymore about it. And maybe that's because I'm not going to be, you know, cashing a ticket, right, in that market, but which is probably a big part of it, but, man, it's so, I feel like the way this season's MVP award played out is going to really stick in the mind of people when they go to bet next season's MVP award, Donnie, of just like, all right, look, figure out who's the quarterback of the best team. And it is really, I mean, it is that simple, isn't it? Like, it really is that simple.
Yes, Brock Purdy would have got it. If Brock Purdy wins that game against the Ravens instead of Lamar Jackson, Brock Purdy's probably the NFL. And be like, that's crazy he's going to do that. But perception would have changed and turned into reality at that point. Just got to stay healthy and be on the best team in football and be the quarterback, and you probably win that. Let me ask you this question about Vegas, right? Because it's a great spot for the Super Bowl to be had. But going over, like, this morning, like, we're just, next year is New Orleans, Kevin. Let's just say we go there. I would like to see New Orleans. I would love to see the Superdome, and it's different. And also, more of an East Coast time zone than on the West Coast. But after this year, you go back out to Santa Clara, which is San Francisco. Then you go back to Los Angeles again after that. It, like, stays out on the West Coast, but that's not really what I wanted to get into. The stores that open up, they sell incredible merchandise. Like, the best of the best at the NFL-sanctioned, like, you know, convention center. Here's what we got on sale. It's great stuff, jerseys. Now, when we were out in Los Angeles, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to buy a T-shirt of, like, the team I think is going to win the Super Bowl, which did, the Rams, but they didn't cover the spread in that game. But it was like, okay, if I put a Rams shirt on, which I still have, it's like, okay, it's fine. I can wear it around town. I can wear it out. It's no big deal. Like, Los Angeles Rams Super Bowl, not like Super Bowl champs. I don't know if I can buy a Niners shirt or a Kansas City shirt and be like, hey, this is my pick for the Super Bowl. Like, it'd be like if the Dallas Cowboys were in it. It's like, hey, I really think Cowboys and Dak are going to roll in this game. I don't know if I could buy Dallas paraphernalia, just even for the week as being out there as like a token of I was at the Super Bowl. Like, are you, because I am going to go to the store, pick out something for the daughter, you know, who knows. I want to get like a memento for like my back, maybe a little Super Bowl football or something. But I don't know if I can buy a team-centric thing out there.
So it's really interesting. So I bought Donnie for my Alabama stuff. Like, I bought a Bama shirt, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I at least, like, got the Georgia, you know, win out of it, went to the playoff and everything like that. But now I'm just kind of like, I have this Bama shirt. Like, we never even went to the national championship game. What's the point, right? Like, I think my thing is, despite the Niners' rivalry with the Eagles, I've, you know, found myself in the Brock Purdy side of the debate so strongly that, like, I would, because I think it would bother people, like, I would proudly wear a Brock Purdy paraphernalia, except if this goes wrong, I mean, I would never even look at the thing again. You know what I mean? Like, it would be the bit, like, forget the money I would lose if this goes wrong in the game. Then I have to look at I'm not going to wear this $120 Brock Purdy jersey ever again. So,
yeah.
And I don't, and most of the other Niners, I don't really like very much because of all the beef with the Eagles. So, I think I like the, like, an event, you know, again, just like the Super Bowl. Like, if there's something like that that pops, Donnie, I'll be interested in it. But you're right. Because you said that when we were out there with the Rams and the Bengals. I think you were on the Rams. I'm trying to remember. I think you were.
Yeah,
on the, and you bought something for the Rams, right? Because you were on the Rams.
You didn't listen to the thing I said. We asked you the question. I do that sometimes, but that was my whole question. Saying I bought something for the Rams. I didn't have any disrespect. But just didn't cover. But yeah, like, because I feel like I want to do that. Now, granted, we'll never be able to wear that this year anyway. So
it's so amazing, though. Like, yeah, right? Like, so maybe I missed the beginning of what you were saying, but I also still can fully remember who you bet on the Super Bowl. Like, I can go back, Donnie, and tell you who you bet in every single playoff game probably since we've been working together more than you could tell me who you bet.
Yes, I can. I forget week to week. Like, hey, Donnie, your best bet won last week. What was it? I don't know. I got to go back and check to see actually what it actually was. But, yeah, like in the Super Bowl, like, I have no idea if you like the Bengals, the total, or anything. I have no idea who you liked in that game. Not even a perspective of, hey, I want, like, this player to go over a certain thing. No clue. 100%. Like, I couldn't even remember. I can't remember who myself actually on some of those props. But I know I did pick the Rams to win that football game, but obviously we weren't picking a money line at that point, so I forget even.
Well,
I don't know if I don't even remember. I remember the game exactly, like the way it played out, but I'm not so sure if I was cheering all that loud on like what was happening either side. Like, I can't even remember who I even was trying to handicap.
No, like you said, the Rams. I mean, it was, you were like, look, the Rams are going to win. Look at the. It's a short line here, right? Like, they should be able to then handle their business against the spread, the pseudo home game. So it was always just like a. It was always one of, I remember, though, the reason I remember it is because I was like, I don't know, like, I think the Rams win, but I also don't feel like laying the points. Like, can Cincinnati cover? And it kind of worked that. But it actually ended up very funny because I had a very good pick six, Donnie, for the Super Bowl, but actually proceeded to do pretty terribly on my picks for that game because I ended up veering off a little too much from the pick six. But that's besides the point. Man, I'm telling you, I already got a couple things locked in for the Super Bowl, though, because I want to. Like, you talk about Donnie with the Jahmyr Gibbs stuff, right? Yeah, and it was a perfect example. Gibbs on Monday, 41.5, winner. Gibbs on Sunday, 47.5, loser.
Yes.
We're going to be looking at these lines all week, Donnie. Uh-huh. I can't torture myself like this. I can't sit here with you today, tomorrow, the day after, break these lines down, fly back from Vegas, and I'd be like, all right, look, let's lock in on that Saturday. I'd be like, hold on a minute. Everything I like is 6 yards different. I'm going to end up with no bets in the Super Bowl then. I can't do it.
Yeah, there's so many prop bets, too. Like, the Super Bowl prop bets are going to be off the charts because you're going to get so much fun bets that you don't typically get. And I don't have to talk about nonsense bets like, oh, Brock Purdy and Gatorade being red. If, you know, Brock Purdy MVP and Gatorade being red as a parlay. I'm just talking about some of the combinations you're going to be allowed to bet in this game that you typically don't bet in the past. Like, hopefully FanDuel gets back to that, says, hey, you know what? Watch this. These three football players that combine for three touchdowns or four touchdowns as opposed to these five players, four of them have to score. It's like, I think they all score, but let's be honest. Like, give me something that I can really dip into. Anything with McCaffrey in this game. Like, give me McCaffrey and Isaiah Pacheco combined for three scores. Like, give me something like that I can believe in at that point.
And they just started to drop more of those, like, special type of markets, touchdown stuff. Pretty interesting options. Good stuff here.
2 weeks to go. 2 weeks to go to Las Vegas as we set the table here on the Sports Grid Network. One more segment to go on a Tuesday edition of Moneyline. Stick around.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Right back at it here. College basketball in full swing tonight. NBA action as well. Uh-oh. Will Joel Embiid play? Will Joel Embiid not play? What was the uh-oh? What happened?
I don't know. Some Pete Thamel tweet here. Tennessee's in trouble.
Yeah. I mean, is that any surprise? Maybe like this was a team that fired their head coach because he was literally him and his wife going to the ATM, taking out tens of thousands of dollars and handing them directly to players and parents. Is it any surprise that Tennessee is in hot water at this point? No. It's not.
Yeah, no, it's a good point.
The corruption is crazy. It's like you can do just about anything you want in today's day and age in college football, and some teams still just go way over and above. Like, hey guys, look, the only thing you can't do is take the NIL guy who's going to give money to the kid and have them meet. You can make the call to the NIL guy and go, I want this player, go pay him, but you can't set up the meeting and be there. Well, what happened to, like, you know, oh, well, I didn't know I couldn't be here and set up the meeting and actually put the check in my bank account and then hand it over to the player? I mean, nonsense, man. Idiots down there. I mean, the cheating in the SEC, which has gone on for so long anyway, the invention of the bag man, still continues. And the best part about this is nothing will happen. Nothing. One scholarship.
Yeah, like I think the thing that's so funny about it is they're like, man, we are diving into all this stuff that's now completely leaked, but we're going to get to the bottom of this. You know what I'm saying? Like, I just the whole thing looks crazy.
Yeah, huge NIL issues. When literally the NIL is meant to just pay the players and people still can't do it correctly, they still have to mess up. There's probably three things you can't do, and they did all three things wrong. And they're like, oh, what do you mean we did that wrong? I didn't know I couldn't pay the guy directly. No, it has to come from the third party, and they handle it, and there's contracts and all that good stuff. I'll leave it up to Tennessee to completely bungle it. But then, as I said, the last coach that got fired there was literally tens of thousands of dollars from his own bank account to players and players' parents. They're like, what? What did I do wrong here? I didn't know I couldn't do that. This is before the NIL. Sensational stuff always in college football. But the Super Bowl, less than 2 weeks away now. College basketball, NBA tonight. Good times on the horizon for JP behind the wheels of steel. Donnie Wrightside and Kevin Walsh. Tomorrow we'll do it again right here on Moneyline.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.